Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Nati jānang apanyasāti. That's one of my favorite verses. I only quoted the first verse. There's no jhana without wisdom, which indicates the subject of this evening's talk is actually using your faculty of wisdom and insight to develop deeper and deeper stages of meditation. And again, that instead of talking about the wisdom which arises from meditation, I wanted to keep on focusing on the practice of meditation itself. In order that we can find this peace and this calmness, this stillness of the mind, and take it to deeper and deeper levels, so that we can see the truths of enlightenment for ourselves. But first of all, we need to develop deeper states of stillness and calm and peace and inner happiness. And very often that people, when they meditate, they do use a lot of force, they do use a lot of patience, they keep on bashing away at the same place. And so often it's the case that if one only had that little bit more wisdom, one would suffer less and one would go much more deeper and quicker in the deep meditations. Sometimes it's not the motivation, sometimes it's not the lack of effort, sometimes it's not the time you spend on the cushion or on the walking path. Sometimes it's just the faculty of wisdom is not sharp enough to go together with your mindfulness, to go through the problems rather than have these problems getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And of course that faculty of wisdom is important. We just chanted the Dhammacakka Sutta. In that Dhammacakka Sutta, the first of the Four Noble Truths is the truth of suffering, and sometimes that's what we have to use as our wisdom faculty, the fact that no suffering is. And it's nothing to do with us, it's nothing to do with whether one is trying or not trying. This is the nature of this world. And it's the nature of the body, and it's sometimes the nature of the mind. It does not always go the way you want it to go. Sometimes it does, not as often as you would like. Sometimes people say it never goes the way I want it to, but that's not true. Sometimes it does, a lot of times it doesn't. And this is actually a teaching. That suffering which comes from being frustrated in one's meditation practice, being bored, feeling one is stuck, feeling one is not getting anywhere, that is actually the first of the noble truths, the suffering, the disappointments, the not getting what you want in life, the five khandhas, these are all suffering. And so one, instead of forcing the issue and trying to say this is something wrong, it shouldn't be this way, I am doing something wrong, instead one just stops, focuses and say this is nature. That sometimes the meditation doesn't go according to plan. Sometimes the body is sick and aching, or it's sleepy, or it wants to wake up early, and as soon as you wake up early, then you're sleepy for the rest of the day. It just doesn't seem to work right. Remember, that's the nature. And there's a wonderful thing happens when you get wise to the nature of the mind and the body and to life itself. When you realize it's the nature, it's not your problem anymore. There's a detachment comes through the wisdom which recognizes the suffering in life. It just goes according to cause and effect. I can't do much about it, so I will leave it alone. When you leave it alone, you develop the attitude of mind which is mindful, which is alert, which watches, but just doesn't get involved. What you are doing in the difficult moments of life, you're not getting the doer and the controller aroused. And thereby, as I've been saying a few times on this retreat already, thereby making bad meditation karma for future sittings. In fact, the whole job of one's meditation practice should be just not worrying about what you're experiencing, but putting that effort into how you're experiencing things, making sure the hindrances especially the desire and the ill will, the wanting and the not wanting, and the getting bored and getting frustrated. It's how you're aware of the situations which you come across in meditation, rather than the situations themselves. It's how you react to them. That is the most important part you should be focusing on. And this is actually where we use our wisdom. When we realize that this is nature, we don't react in the sense of feeling afraid, feeling guilty, feeling frustrated, disappointed, losing our lack of self-esteem, thinking, I can't do it. Of course you can't do meditation. I can't do meditation. And I've gone on record saying, Ajahn Brahm can't meditate. Every time Ajahn Brahm starts to meditate, I always mess it up. And I know from experience, I've got enough wisdom now to know that I have to step out of the way. And when I step out of the way, this beautiful space between me and what I'm watching becomes clear. There is no frustration, there is no boredom, there is, those things are there, but you just leave them alone. You don't get involved and create more of these things. Which is why the attitude where one gets wisdom is actually just to watch, to gather the data, rather than always trying to get rid of things which you don't like. For those of you still having problem with a wandering mind, or with a planning mind, or with a fantasizing mind, or a sleeping mind, remember that those types of minds always arise as an escape from the suffering you're experiencing. Because the meditation is not blissed out, because you are not excited or entertained, because sometimes it's just boring and nothing is really happening, it is your nature from the past, your habit to go and escape into reading books, having a cup of tea, in outside the rain's retreat, chatting, talking, or dreaming, fantasizing, planning, whatever it is. We have all of our escapes. Remember, when you go into those escapes, you're not really investigating Dharma anymore. You're just wasting time. It's much more important, and it helps your meditation, and you get far deeper on this path, is whenever anything comes up which is unsatisfactory. You know, you're bored, you're frustrated, you're tired, nothing seems to be working, you don't know what you're going to do, you can't stay inside your heart, you don't want to walk meditation, you've got nothing to read, nothing to do, whatever. That's great. That's the moment when we observe. We observe our reaction to this unpleasantness. In other words, this is where we just watch without reacting. We observe, we gather data, we want to understand. And you find that when you just understand, you gather data, you try and learn from these experiences which come up during a retreat, the very fact that you are accepting these experiences as like grist for the mill, as they say, as data for your insight, as dung for your garden, whatever it is, that when you accept these states which you go, which you experience from time to time, then you'll find not just you learn from them, but suddenly you just get free from them. What you are doing, as I've been saying, is you're disengaging. You're not sort of getting involved in these things. You're not trying to control them anymore. You're not owning them. So if you do get bored, don't own your boredom. If you do get frustrated, don't own your frustration. Whatever is happening, just say, this is just cause and effect coming and going. Use your insight, your understanding of the Dhamma. It is suffering. What do you expect? If you think you're going to escape from this by coming to a monastery, then, you know, you've come to the wrong place. Because we don't escape from suffering in a monastery, we face it and disengage. And there is the escape. It's like a roundabout escape, not intending to escape, then the escape happens. And if you go out into the world, wherever you go, wherever you travel, whatever change in circumstances, you should know by now, you have enough wisdom, that the change of circumstances never changes the suffering, the boredom, the frustration, the lack of meaning, whatever it is which drove you into this monastery in the first place. But wherever you go, that always is there with you. Because it's the nature of life, we're getting involved with the khandhas. When one understands this is just the play of the five khandhas, it's nothing to do with you. Just the play of the body, it's what a body is, it just gets sick sometimes, now it's tired, now it's got energy. It's just what feelings are, now they're happy, now they're unhappy. You cannot get complete, utter happiness. For those of you who think, oh, one day when I get into jhana, then I'll be happy. Yeah, it's nice when you get into jhana. When you come out afterwards, that sucks. It's all gone. So you can understand that wherever you do, even when you do get jhana in this retreat, it's not the end of suffering. But what it does do, it just allows these insights, allows the mind to get to know much more what the real problems are and how they're overcome. Which is why that whatever you experience in life, sometimes you just stay there with it. The wonderful thing about a retreat time that, you know, there's not many escapes which you have. There are always some, and you can always find some escapes, but a lot of them have been cut off during the retreat period. And you're encouraged just to stay by yourself. Sometimes you're in your hut, you're on a retreat, and you don't know how you're going to even last the whole day. You don't want to sleep, you've slept enough, and you don't want to walk, you don't want to sit, there's nothing left to do. Just some time to waiting until it's, you know, dark enough or you feel sleepy enough so you can rest. But whatever happens, these are the times when instead of trying to run away from the problem, one stops and investigates it. In order to investigate these problems, which I think I mentioned with the first talk on body awareness, a very useful technique is to associate every emotional quality, whether it's boredom or frustration or excitement or fear or whatever, or even ill will, associate that with a physical feeling. If you're really bored, there's something in your body which you associate with boredom, some sort of feeling, and deal with the physical feeling. To understand these things. Because you get, if you like, get power, you get freedom from these things. Not through running away, but through facing, investigating, understanding. Each one of these problems which you face in meditation, they're all maras. Maras, tempters, obstacles, something which is trying hardest to stop you getting free from samsara. And again, the way you always overcome Mara is not through fighting, not through shooting or beating him up. You always overcome Mara just by saying, I know you, Mara, by understanding, seeing deeply into what these things are. So if you are getting bored, what is boredom? Understand it, investigate it, don't try and escape from it, face it squarely. If it's frustration, what is frustration? What does frustration feel like? Stay there, be with it for a long, long, long time until you know it so well. When you know it so well, you find you become free from it. Which means that in the frustrating, boring times of a meditation practice, instead of creating more bad karma, which will lead to those things reappearing again and again and again, not only do you understand them, but you can let them go. You understand it's just part of nature, just like the rain clouds coming over the sky. There they come, because it's the season for rain, and then they go again, and it's sunny, and then it's dark, and then the moon comes out, and then the moon doesn't come out. When you understand this, it's nothing to do with you. It's just nature. That gives you the sense of letting go, of freedom, of distance from what you're experiencing. When we get too close to what we're experiencing, that's when we own it, that's when we become it, that's when the big I starts to get involved. And that is the problem. Where we can just detach more, just stand back. This is not my suffering, this is not my boredom, it's just something which comes and goes. When we understand it, deal with it, then we're free from it. This is how we investigate, how we use this wisdom. And if it really is true wisdom, if you are doing this properly, that you find you investigate these, and the problems disappear. The frustrations disappear, the ill will disappears, the boredom disappears. Sometimes when it's boredom, all it really is just that the mind is not subtle enough to appreciate the subtle things of monastic life. And the reason why one gets sleepy is because the mindfulness is not sharp enough to see the beauty of the quiet, peaceful mind. Frustration is just because you're impatient, because you think you're controlling things and you've been disappointed. When you realize there's no controller in there, how can frustration ever occur? I was reminded today of that famous simile of mine of the driverless bus, where once you realize that your life is like a bus and there is no person or being in the driver's seat driving this vehicle, when you realize that, at least you should know that, because that's what the suttas say, that's what all the great teachers say, that's what I say, there is no one driving that bus. So what do? You just sit down in your seat and you stop complaining. Nice territory, beautiful territory, ugly territory, which you go through during your retreat period. You're at peace with it. Because you're shouting at the driver, hurry up, get out of here, or slow down, I want to enjoy this. That just does not help. Every time you're shouting at the driver, you're not really attending to what you're experiencing. You're not learning from it, you're just getting involved in it again. And that's getting involved in things rather than detaching from things, owning things rather than letting them go, trying to make things happen rather than letting things be. That's the problem of one's meditation practice. Once one learns that, you know, through understanding, meditation gets so easy. And I kept on saying that, I've been saying that for years, meditation is the easiest thing to do. And people just don't get it. And what they do is they try even harder to make it easy. You can see, well, that's like what they call an oxymoron. That's, you know, you try to make it easy. And the more you try, that means it's hard. If it was easy, you don't need to try. Which is actually why we are mindful, we understand, we investigate, we learn. And we use that as our trying. So put aside the effort. You know, let go of all the struggle. And instead investigate, understand. What does it feel like? Physically, emotionally, how long does it last? If you're bored, just see how long you can be bored for. As we said before, using the Ajahn Chah method, when you're angry, put a clock in front of you and see how long you'll be angry for. Next time you're bored, see how long you can be bored for. See if you can beat your record. Keep a diary of continuing boring moments and see just which is the longest throughout the whole retreat. And compare it with your friends and see who can be bored the longest, and give yourself a prize at the end of the retreat, the most bored monk in the whole of Bodhidharma Monastery. Whatever it is, what you're actually doing there, you're not running away from it, but you're facing it. And facing these little demons, these negative states of mind, is much more effective than you imagine. When you face them, it's as if they fade away, they disappear. It's always what I used to say, if you ever see a ghost, face the ghost. Face the ghost right nose to nose and go boo to the ghost, and the ghost will run a mile. Ghosts, it's more scared of you than you are of them. And these demons in the mind as well, the boredom, the frustration, the anger, the impatience, when you actually face them, they disappear. And when you actually face them and they disappear, you've got through something, you've understood something, wisdom has come. And that wisdom really helps you the next time you meditate. You sit down there, you know exactly what's happening and how this mind works and how to overcome these echoes of the past bad habits. Now, because you've got anticipation, expectations, you know, it's very difficult being a senior monk, because you want to encourage people, you want to inspire people, you want to hold up these amazing things like nimittas and jhanas and stream winning and stuff like that, to give people some inspiration. But then again, sometimes people look at those things and they take them as goals to achieve and they just get frustration instead of inspiration. You tell somebody who's got a deep meditation and think that's going to make them really uplifted, and all they do is they feel, oh gee, I've got nothing. And it turns against themselves and they just get depressed. So it's very hard just balancing the inspiration, setting up sort of nice, exciting sort of goals and explaining what it's going to be like at the end of the journey, like a sort of a travel agent just showing you just how nice it's going to be when you get to the Jhana Hotel, sort of in this great resort called Nibbana. But, you know, that sometimes it makes people frustrated and they never get there. So as well as actually describing the goal and some of the beautiful stuff which happens on the way, which is important to describe, also the obstacles for actually to getting there. So when frustration comes up, or boredom or anger, don't struggle more. Use insight and understand these things. Stay with it. See what happens. It's a great thing to be able to do. Just if it's boredom or frustration, look at frustration. See how long frustration lasts. Because that way you are stepping out of it. When you're in it, that's when you're in the poo, in the shit. When you step out of it, you know, at least you're not getting dirty. You're sort of getting a detached attitude, objectivity, see it from a distance, you can understand why we call it fertilizer. And little by little, that these are things which just don't occur to you. Frustration, yeah, you know, it's just, it's not happening yet. But you know about patience. So boredom, yeah, you know, just it's a tough day today. But you just allow that to be. And you are creating the causes for beautiful meditation tomorrow. You can't expect to have great meditation every day. But by creating the causes, those causes build and build and build. That fundamental truth of meditation, which, you know, sometimes I think I'm saying every week, I might have been saying it every week, and I certainly say it in letters and emails, that the energy of the mind, of mindfulness, comes from not doing anything. Take it away from the controller, from the arguer, from the reacting mind, and just let it flow into just knowing, passive awareness. And the more you allow passive awareness, just bear with things for the time being. Don't react to them, whether it's fantasies or thinking or tiredness or boredom or whatever. Just allow it to be. Stand back, allow it to be, don't react, don't get involved, don't grab onto it, don't try and push it away. Just look upon it just like the clouds in the sky. And then you'll find you are allowing energy to go into mindfulness, into knowing. And all those negative states of mind, they just vanish. When the mind becomes energized, that's when the meditation feels so easy. And the more you get sort of react negatively to yourself, to others, to the place, the more you actually struggle, the deeper you get in to the mess. That's why I was told as a kid, if ever you step into quicksand, you should always relax and never struggle. Because in those areas where there were quicksand, and there were some beaches in England which did have this quicksand, it's very fine sand, which if you stepped on, you'd just fall down. And the only way that you could save yourself is just really relax, because, you know, you'd actually float, as it were. You wouldn't go submerge yourself. And you wait until someone comes past and they can pull you out. But the more you struggle, the deeper you went. And as you go deeper and deeper, that's when people killed themselves. They panicked, which is quite understandable. But it's the same if you panic and struggle in sort of the difficult moments of meditation. If you get into the quicksand of meditation practice, if you struggle, you're going to sort of go deeper and deeper down. So instead, we just allow things to be. We're patient. We use this as a learning experience to get the wisdom going. And when we get the wisdom going, the problem just disappears. We use wisdom power, not willpower. And that wisdom power, once you get to use it, it not only gets rid of the difficult problems of the day, the negative states of the mind. It also means that when you are meditating and you are got reasonable energy, you know how to take that deeper. You know what the present moment is, and you know why the mind will wander off. Because fault finding. Present moment is not good enough. I want it to be better. Those expectations, those anticipations of the great meditations you've had in the past, and now you're getting close, here it comes, you've blown it again. And you know that because you have investigated that, you've used your wisdom power. And what the wisdom power teaches you, just to leave it alone. The whole point of meditation is not getting into jhana, not getting nimittas. It's creating the causes for nimittas, creating the causes for jhana, creating the causes for the enlightenment experiences. So our whole focus goes on creating the causes for these things. That becomes the wisdom power. We know the cause. What's the cause for these things? The cause is letting go, kindness and gentleness, samasankapa. That's the second factor of the Eightfold Path. Or the cause is in the third factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. Sorry, the third factor of the Four Noble Truths. It is, we just chanted it a few moments ago, chago, which means like giving up. That's what chago means. You just give. You should give your whole energy, your body, your mind, just to this moment. And giving, expecting nothing back in return. Always remember that. When you meditate, you're not trying to get something out of it. If you try and get something out of it, all you get out of it is suffering. You're meditating to let go, to give up, which means no expectations whatsoever. Now you understand sometimes why we get frustrated. We have expectations, we have desires and wants, and that is the cause of the suffering and the boredom and the frustration, all the problems. To give, expecting nothing back in return, is a letting go. And a patinissaga, we're meditating to get rid of things, not to gain more attainments or badges, as I said a few weeks ago. We're not trying to get sort of something we can go and tell our friends about. You know, I did a whole retreat with Ajahn Brahm, and I got this and I got that. Now we're trying to get rid of things, abandoning sort of our defilements, not gaining more things. And we're meditating for mutti, for freedom. And that story, I won't go into it in detail, you all know that, of the prison story. You're just, any place you don't want to be is prison. And it does not matter even if you are in a beautiful hotel. Because I remember that, I was in Japan some years ago, and they put me into this, it must be a 5 or 6 star hotel room. I was just so bored there for that day. I just didn't want to be there. I think they tried, that's right, that day that they forgot that they should feed a Theravada monk before midday. So by the time they got to this restaurant, it was a really high-class Japanese restaurant. It was just after midday, so I refused to eat. It's actually good because now they always make sure I'm fed before. So 12 o'clock, you know what it's like in Japan. You embarrass somebody once and they'll never let you be embarrassed again. So I didn't eat that day, so I was tired. And the other monk with me, this Tibetan monk, went off to one of these hot bars, which I'm not into hot bars. I just want to meditate and just be quiet. And there's a bit of a noisy hotel. And I was just sitting there in this 5-star hotel, you know, with these hot bars. And people pay a fortune to get there. And I thought, I'm in a prison. And I was in a prison in a 5-star hotel because I didn't want to be there. And I realized exactly what I was doing, and so I stopped that sort of stupid mind state. So you can be in a prison, you know, in a 5-star hotel, in a big mansion. It doesn't really matter where you are. All it matters is whether you want to be here or not. So when you're in your meditation, do you want to be here in this moment? Or do you want to be somewhere else? And if you want to be somewhere else, you'll never get into any deep meditation. You'll never be peaceful. Which is why that you can just stop yourself. And wisdom will say, no, this is good enough. I want to be here, in this moment, with my aching legs, with my itchy nose in this noisy hut with my stupid mind. I just want to be here. When you want to be here, then you are free. And doesn't matter where you are. I know that monk who got put in jail, this Thai monk, many, many years ago, just completely innocent, just because that he was about to be the Sangharaja of Thailand, and some other monk wanted that position, so accused him of being a communist. He was put in jail for 2 years, and he wrote his biography. He loved that time in jail. Didn't have to go and give any talks, didn't have to sort of speak to people after dinner. Nice and simple meals. A nice little hut in the prison. Nice little room by himself. He said he found that such a wonderful time, so much freedom. And you can see just being in a prison cell. If you want to be there, you are free. And that's such a powerful, deep wisdom teaching for me when I realized it doesn't matter what I'm doing, where I am, in an aircraft just traveling to some stupid conference, or whether you're in front of somebody, you know, and they come and ask their silly questions after the meal, or somebody rings up and because their dog has just died. You know, sometimes it's very easy for a monk like me to think, why do I have to do this? This is stupid stuff. And if I did that, of course, I would suffer. But I said, no, I want to be here. And then this incredible sense of peace and freedom comes up. When you're sitting in your hut or your cave, if you're me, and the mind is not still, doesn't matter, I want to be here. Then the mind becomes still. When you want to be here, you're developing freedom. This is third noble truth. The way to end craving. The way to stop this doer. It's a very powerful teaching. Doesn't matter where you are and whatever you're doing during your day. You can ask yourself, do I want to be here or do I want to be somewhere else? And every time the answer is you want to be somewhere else, you realize you're creating suffering. You're creating dukkha. That's straight from the third noble truth of the Buddha, what we just chanted. And every time you think, no, this is good enough. I'm happy to be here. I'm content. No fault finding. This is good enough for me. Then you find you are creating the end of suffering. Following the Buddha's teaching and the third noble truth. So remember just to allow this moment to be. And then you find you can't really get into dullness, you can't get into sexual fantasies or dreaming or messing around. Because if you really want to be here, really properly, you don't need anything. You don't need these escapes, these other little bits and pieces which you try and fill up your day with. When you're content to be here, it's amazing just what here can teach you and show you. You're just sitting there, sitting down, just, I want to be here. Usually, if it's myself, just nimittas come up straight away. Beautiful old friends. Simply because you've made the mind still. You don't want to go anywhere. You've understood its stillness when the mind doesn't move, when you're not wanting something, when you're not trying to go somewhere else. If you're trying to go somewhere else, get somewhere else, of course you're never still. We always think, I get here, I do that, and stillness will come later on. Of course, it never comes later on. You can only build stillness now. And the only way you can build stillness now is by allowing this moment to be. This is good enough. I just want to be here, in this moment, right now, with this, whatever it is. And it does not matter what this is. What matters is whether you want to be here with this, or whether you want to be somewhere else. You can be completely free in a prison cell, and you can be in prison in a 5-star hotel. Understand that, and you understand just how wisdom can free you. And it's so nice to be free. And not so nice to know that any place, any time, with any state of mind, you can always be free. This is what we mean by detaching. What's this enlightenment stuff? It's when you want to be somewhere else. Craving is the cause of suffering. So in your meditation, Just remember to want to be here. And the last is Analaya, that fourth factor in the third noble truth. It is having no place where anything can stick. So yeah, you've had a difficult day, but please don't carry it into the present moment. It's gone, it's finished, it's past. It's amazing how we become prisoners of that past. And we just, now how are you doing? Oh, I'm terrible. What do you mean you're terrible? Because I had a terrible day in the past. Doesn't matter what's happened even a moment ago, 5 minutes ago, an hour ago. Please don't allow anything to stick. If you have some wonderful meditations, please don't allow that to stick either. Otherwise, you'll find after a lovely meditation, wow, and last I did it, I'm really getting into it now. You're creating the causes for failure in the future. Your job is to be free, not to carry around the attainments of the past. Your job is to be liberated, liberated from the so-called failures of the past. It doesn't matter what's happened. Isn't it great to know that that is possible? That you don't need to define yourself through success or failure. It's all to do with what's happened. In this monastery, in Buddhism, you can be completely free. So much there's no success and failure. That's all belongs to the past. And you learn this amazing technique of completely letting go of everything. Analaya. So that there's no place you can stick onto. When there's no place you can stick onto, then you just fade away and disappear. What do you think of yourself? Who do you think you are? What are your qualities? How have you done so far in this retreat? Stupid thinking like that. It's questions which just have no validity. They're just assumptions. And assumptions which when we believe, when we take seriously, create so much suffering for us. You've been there so many times. Don't go giving yourself a report card and then believing in it. Because if you do, you'll become that report card. And that become yourself, and that will just create so much suffering for you. Be free. Be free means you just don't take the past seriously. What is the past anyway? It's only your memories of the past. You don't know really what happens. It's just the way we look at it. And sometimes we look at the past because we're feeling good and we just remember all the lovely old memories. Sometimes we look at the past in a bad mood. We just remember all that's bad and all that's wrong. Remember that when you look in the past, it's always selective. It's the nature of perception to do that. Just to pick up things which resonate with your present mood. Which is why that some of you come in this monastery and you're in a good mood today. You think, oh, this is the most wonderful, amazing place. This is beautiful in this place. Why doesn't everybody else come and stay here? And when somebody disrobes, you think, how on earth can they disrobe? It's such a wonderful place. They must be crazy, out of their mind. And then there comes a day where you disrobe. And you think, wow, does anyone stay in this dump? This really sucks. This is an awful monastery. People are just so brainwashed. Can't they see it? You can see just what happens here is that you just look in the past through the moods of the present. You can't trust that. Because what you can't trust, don't take seriously. When you don't take seriously, not worth taking at all. Let it go. You're free. You're using this wisdom, this understanding of the nature of the past, to be completely, absolutely, 100% free. So then we're all in this wonderful level playing field. There's no great meditators or stupid meditators. I've become exactly the same as each one of you. This present moment, meditating now. It's wonderful to be free, to have no reputation, nothing I'm supposed to live up to, nothing I'm supposed to be worried about. Nothing I'm supposed to feel guilty about. Nothing I have to fix up. Completely free. Empty. Do things like that. Meditation so easy. Because you are peaceful. You're carrying no burdens. Sometimes people build up failure. They think they've failed in the past. Because of that, they become failure person. Remember that old story, it's in the opening door of your heart? The two classes of kids, Class A kids and Class B kids. I'm not going to go into it in detail, you can look it up for yourself in the opening the door of your heart. Just people became Class A kids just because they believed it. Or they became Class B kids, the failures. Because they thought Class B meant, you know, the dummy class. Be careful of that psychology. Once you start thinking of yourself as a failure, I can't meditate, then that's why you can't meditate. Let that all go. Abandon it. Be free of the past. Using that wisdom, this moment is all we've got. And I'm just happy to be here, no matter what it is. If it's painful, that's the first noble truth. And the Buddha said the first noble truth is to know it completely. So I'm just going to know this moment completely. Mara, I know you. And you find it's not painful anymore. All the pain in this moment, the frustration, is just attitudes, just the way we look at things. Which is why it's so easy to meditate, because you don't have to change the state of yourself, the state of the world. Just change the attitude. It's very hard to change a person, to change a situation, a monastery. But it's so easy to just change the way you look at it. Just a different perspective. A moment of wisdom. And you see it differently. And all the suffering disappears and fades. That's why when I use insight in my meditation, use wisdom. Sometimes you're meditating there in my cave and you're just meditating, not getting anywhere. And I just use wisdom and just, what's going on? Why? What's happening? You see it straight away. And it's great, because as soon as wisdom comes, it's immediate. The next moment is really peaceful, and then you're off getting into the deep meditations. It's the wisdom which breaks up the blockages. And perhaps I've used that so many times that, you know, I don't use willpower so much, I use wisdom power. Sitting there, it's not happening, you feel frustrated, or you feel bored, or it's not working, you feel tired, you feel aches and pains. You don't go pushing, you say, why? A lot of time it's because you've let anticipation or let judgment. You don't really have to be here. You want to be somewhere else. You want to be in the jhanas or you want to be some here and some there. Because I've been meditating a long time now, I know my mind. That wisdom faculty is reasonably strong. So you can see what I'm doing and stop. As soon as you stop, wisdom arises. Huge amounts of peace come straight away. If it really is an insight, it really is wisdom, its sign is you just go to a deeper level of peacefulness. Wisdom gives rise to that upasama, to that calming. The problem is seen and solved. Mara, I know you. Mara doesn't slink away, he just poof, vanishes in this particular context. So these are little techniques which we use. Not only does it lead to deep meditation now, and anyone can do this, and you'll be surprised sometimes that even you had a terrible time so far and you can't get into deep meditation, you think it's completely hopeless. Try this wisdom business. So I'm just happy to be here. And you're sharp enough to do it properly. You're not messing around. You really do. Okay, I'm going to give this a go. 100%. I'm going to just be happy to be here. Give this 100%, going to let go of the past. 100%, no expectations. 100%, just being free, not trying to get anything, just allowing things to disappear. Give that 100%, you find it works. Not only do you get the quick payoff of peaceful meditation, you also get that wisdom strengthened. And it's not my wisdom anymore. It's not Ajahn Chah's wisdom or the Buddha's wisdom. It's your wisdom. You've done something and it's worked. The mind is becoming clever. It's becoming sharp. It's becoming wise. It knows the way to freedom. As the Buddha always kept on saying, in all of these five khandhas or six sense bases or whatever, it knows the gratification, but it also knows the escape, the freedom from these things. And that's the most important thing to know. Sure, you can know the thing, you can know its danger, but to know its escape, that's the one most worth knowing. And through your little exercise of wisdom, you've found the escape. And you've understood the escape is not through more willpower. It's not through being the strong macho meditator, the one who can sit through pain and just force the mind through things. You understand that the way through ignorance, delusion, into nibbana is through wisdom. Wisdom leads to peace and to stillness. And the stillness emphasizes, strengthens, reinforces that wisdom. And little by little, you get more peaceful, more blissed out, more mindful, you see more, you get more peaceful, more bliss, greater mindfulness, you see even deeper. This beautiful path is so much fun, so interesting. And you've done it, and you can do it, you will do it. But don't be dumb and stupid. Use your wisdom faculty. Don't keep on banging your head against a brick wall. The bricks are much harder than skin, bone, and the others, what's in the other side of that bone. Use wisdom power. That's far sharper, and that's what will get you into peace, into bliss, and into freedom. That's the talk for this evening.
Sukhati Pano, wow.